We would like to welcome you to the October 12th, 2022 meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by city council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the city of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes in new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. If you are joining us virtually, please make sure that you mute yourselves. And if you are here in person, please make sure that your phone is muted so that we have a clear record. Signpostings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. There are five items, and I will read those now. The petition of 190 Octane Retail LLC, 22-003872-COA, 19 East Bay Street, illuminated sign. The petition of Martin Luherman, 22-003984-COA, 10 Whitaker Street, alterations. The petition of Patrick Phelps, 22-004121-COA, 308 East Hall Street, alterations. The petition of Pantheon ADC, 22-004351-COA, 24 East Broughton Street, storefront alterations. And lastly, the petition of Pantheon ADC, 22-004368-COA, 15 West Broughton Street, alterations. Is there any member of the public or any board member that wishes to remove the item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
Thompson, a move to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Do I have a second?
Gwen, second.
Okay, Ms. Taylor. We'll do voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Let's see. Next is the adoption of the agenda for today's meeting. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Do I have a second? Second. Thank you, Mr. Alshuler. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Next, we will go on to the approval of last meeting's minutes, which have been attached to the agenda for your review. Is there a motion to approve the previous month's minutes?
Gwen, so moved.
Thank you, Ms. Gwen. Do I have a second? Thank you, Ms. Rowan. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. With that, they have passed. There are no items to be removed, requested to be removed from the final agenda, so we will move on to the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda? Thank you, Mr. Altshuler. Do I have a second?
Thompson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. We'll do a voice vote for this as well. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. And there are no items that are requested for an extension, so we will go ahead and move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to said public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comment if you do not have any. If you are joining us virtually, please make sure that you use the raise your hand feature, and then I will be notified and call on you by name. And if you provide comment here in person, please make sure that you sign in and then you state your name for the record. And you will be requested to keep your comment to 3 minutes or less. All righty. First item on the regular agenda is the petition of J. Elder Studio, 22-004370-COA, 30 Barnard Street, rooftop addition and storefront alteration.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Ethan Hagman presenting the petition for 30 Barnard Street. Proposed project is a 2,500 square foot addition for additional dining to the rooftop of 30 Barnard Street, otherwise known as Coco and Moss, as seen in the photo. And an alteration to the storefront bay addressed 38 Barnard Street. This building is considered a contributing building in the historic district. Staff agrees the petitioner has done an excellent job setting back the addition to where it will be minimally visible from the public right-of-ways. Based off the 3D models provided by the applicant, the most noticeable sightline appears to be further down Barnard Street, where the cast stone and metal paneling will be seen, as seen in this bottom 3D model. This is across from Jazz Tapas. The petitioner also provides building sections of the sightlines from Congress Street on the top and Barnard Street, showing how minimally visible this rooftop addition will be. As discussed in the pre-meeting, this parcel falls within the four-story height zone based off of the downtown height map, so this proposed height of the addition is allowed. Concerning the elevations, the proposed parapet of the lane facade will feature cast stone, which is a type of precast concrete permitted in the ordinance. The metal panels are not listed as permitted or prohibited materials for exterior walls in the ordinance. However, staff is finding the intent of this ordinance to be met, as there's several examples of this for rooftop additions used throughout the historic district. In regards to the storefront alteration, there was a COA which got approved in front of this board in September 10th of 2018 for the removal of the existing awning which stretched across the facade, and also the painting of the bricks in this storefront. Regarding the stripping and repointing of the bricks, the staff is requesting just mortar specifications for repointing the bricks. So therefore, staff's recommendation is approval for this project with the following condition of revise and send staff mortar specifications for final review and approval for repointing historic bricks of the storefront entrance to address 38 Barnard Street. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Ethan. Does anybody have any questions for staff?
I have one. Did staff consider the sight lines from standing at Ellis Square?
Yes, I believe. I don't believe it was submitted, but yes, we did do a site visit and looked at what the view currently was from Ellis Square.
And how much do you think you'll be able to see of the rooftop addition from, for example, the middle of Ellis Square?
It will be more visible than from standing on the north side of the sidewalk from Congress Street, but it has been set back enough to where it is minimally visible. And also they have added planters to section off part of the rooftop addition from where the existing parapet is.
Does anybody have any further questions for staff? Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Jerome Elder, representing J. Elder Studio. Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman and the board. I am thankful and excited for presenting this project. I previously worked on this with Gunmeer Hofsche when we did the revisions to the storefront where Coco and Morse is. And now I have the opportunity to work on the opposite end, doing a very similar type of alteration to the storefront, which will be the same as the one which was approved previously for Coco and Morse. As for your question, Mr. Higgins, on the visibility, you'd see a little of it from if you're standing within Ellis Square, but considering the way that the ordinance read and what we tried to do was set it back as far as possible so that you wouldn't see a lot of that addition. And we did do the planters towards the edge so that we can create vegetation that also screens it. We also tried to ensure that the materials used are something that will complement the building, but will also not detract from the historic structure. So with that, I mean, no matter what we do, anything, if you stand across the square, will be visible unless you had a 8 or 9 story building. So that's how I can answer that. But if anyone else has any questions, please feel free to ask, and thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead.
I do have a quick question. Can you address the staff comment regarding the repointing of the historic bricks?
Yes, we will be addressing that comment. So we'll revise the and give them the mortar specifications for it.
Does anybody else have any questions for the petitioner? Thank you. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment? Is there anybody online, Bree? No? Okie dokie. At this time, we will now enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. Mr. Thompson, I'll start with you.
I don't have any comments.
Hey, Ms. Gwynn.
No comments.
Ms. Taylor.
No comment.
Mr. Alshiller.
No comment.
Ms. Memory.
No comments.
Mr. Higgins.
Just one comment. Well, I appreciate the effort that's gone into screening this and setting it back and that sort of thing, but I think it's something that we as a group need to look at when looking at rooftop additions on small 1, 2, or 3 story buildings. Because the Secretary of the Interior is fairly specific about it. So it's just something to keep in mind, even though I think they've met the interpretation in this specific instance.
Okay, Ms. Rowan.
Yeah, I think adding a little greenery as a barrier would be nice. So.
Okay, we'll go around again just to make sure. Mr. Thompson, do you have anything?
No comments.
Ms. Gwynn?
None.
Ms. Taylor? Mr. Alshiller?
No.
Ms. Memory?
I also share Mr. Higgins' concerns.
Mr. Higgins, anything additional?
No additional.
And Ms. Rowan?
Comment.
Okay. At this time, we will now entertain a motion.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve petition number 22004370 COA 30 Barnard Street, provided that the conditions outlined in the staff's recommendations are met.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Again, second.
Okay. Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Gwynn?
Yes.
Ms. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Alshiller? Did you say aye? Okay. Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
And Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Okay. With that, the petition has passed with the single condition. Next item on the agenda is the petition also of J. Elder Studio, 22-004369-COA 408 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, rooftop addition and storefront alteration.
Thank you. This is Jamie Zerillo presenting the staff recommendation for 408 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Excuse me. The petitioner is seeking approval for a rooftop addition and storefront alteration at 408 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. So going over the visibility first, because this is minimally visible from Martin Luther King, let me pull up the applicant's drawings for that, or renderings rather. So this is from Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and this is from the I-16 flyover. So that's the only portion of the public right of way where you'd see this rooftop addition from the street. It's minimally visible, almost entirely not visible. As far as, as far as the Secretary of Interior standards, staff had no major comments. The only major comments staff had in visual compatibility were for the use of the proposed zinc paneling as the exterior wall. Staff found the material to be appropriate. However, the configuration of the paneling system, staff found not entirely visually appropriate. So staff would recommend a horizontally aligned tile system to respect the horizontal character of the rest of the building and to continue that language forward. But beyond that, as far as visual compatibility, height, and roof shape, staff had no major comments. The only additional staff comment was in the design standards, and that was to for the applicant to provide the roof pitch for this, for the roof system. Other than that, again, staff had no outstanding comments for the design standards, as all the other standards were met. So staff's recommendation would be approval with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review, which is revise the diamond configuration of the paneling to be horizontally aligned paneling, and provide the roof pitch and ensure it meets the standards. And I'll open it up to any questions or has a staff.
Does anybody have any questions for Jamie? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon again, Jerome Elder for J. Elder Studio, and good afternoon. Today is the day of additions for us, so here we go. We thank the MPC staff for working with us. We, in our pre-meeting, when we looked at it, we wanted to make sure that we really made the MLK facing facade not visible from across the street, and I think we're able to achieve that. It is going to be a residential building in the upper floors. Currently, it's all vacant, and we're doing two apartments per floor, and then the top floor is an apartment as well, just in case there are any questions about that. As for addressing the siding, we really do think that that diamond shape would be a different but an interesting contemporary feature on the building. However, we're open to the same manufacturer does have a horizontal rectangular option, and it's about 8 inches tall by 14 to 16 inches long. So it is an option that we are willing to consider, but we'd still like you to consider that diamond shaped pattern. And as for the roof pitches, we will show those, but I believe they're on the plan, but we'll show those in the section. So that's all I have.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Make sure you sign in, state your name for the record.
Ryan Jarles, Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC met this previous Monday, and they felt that at this height on the building and its limited visibility from the front, that the proposed diamond shape of the material was appropriate at this location, not that it would be appropriate at any other location, but they felt for this specific project, and with it being a rooftop addition, that this material being similar to historic roofing materials was appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comments online, in person? No? Okay. At this time, we'll now go into board discussion. Ms. Rowan, I'll start with you.
No comment.
Mr. Higgins.
I actually tend to agree with what Ryan just said with the diamond pattern, because it does hearken to some roof panel systems from the past, but also it helps to separate the new elements from the old elements. So I would actually be in favor of retaining the design, the diamond design.
Okay, Ms. Memory.
I also agree that the diamond design would be visually compatible.
Okay, Mr. Altshuler.
I agree with the two previous comments.
Okay, Ms. Taylor.
Yeah, I think the diamond configuration is acceptable and compatible in this case as well.
Ms. Quinn?
I would agree with my colleagues.
Mr. Thompson?
I could see it either way. I think the point made by Mr. Higgins about distinguishing the new addition further from the historic building has got a lot of merit.
Okay. We'll go around again just for procedure's sake. Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
Ms. Memory?
No comment.
Mr. Altshuler?
No comment.
Ms. Taylor? No comment. Ms. Gwynn?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson?
Ditto.
Okay, at this time, we will now entertain a motion. Can you bring up the recommendation?
This is Michael Higgins. I would move that the Historic District Board of Review with regard to 408 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard 22-004369-COA adopt a certificate of appropriateness for the rooftop addition with one comment, which is to provide the roof pitch for the roof and ensure that it meets the standards.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second, Rowan.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Okay, Ms. Rowan, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has passed with only condition number two. Next item on the agenda is the petition of Shauna Cusera, 22-003883-COA, 117 West Jones Street, amendment to previous COA, wall/fence.
Thank you. This is Jamie Zerillo again, presenting the staff recommendation for 117 West Jones Street. The petitioner is requesting approval for an amendment to a previous COA under file number 21005430-COA to alter an existing masonry fence. So the context for that is on November 10th, 2021, the Historic District Board of Review approved application for a new masonry wall at West Jones Lane at 117 West Jones Street, again under that file number. So I'll bring up that previously approved design. And then on February 2nd, 2022, staff conducted the final inspection of the property and found inconsistencies between the work completed and the stamp permit drawings. The south-facing masonry wall and gate did not match what was on the approved drawings. And that is, here is the existing work. So the pilasters were removed and a different door design was put in place. And so staff had only one major comment, is that In the proposed design, staff didn't particularly found the panel door to be visually compatible as it read as an interior door. And then looking at the context of similar doors, is they generally have a horizontal or vertical panel that makes it read as an exterior door. So the only major comment as staff had was to revise the design of the exterior door or utilize the previously approved design. And so and so staff's recommendation would be that approval for an amendment to a previous COA under 21-005430-COA to alter an existing masonry fence at 117 West Jones Street with the following condition, which is to revise the design of the gate to include vertical boards as seen in the surrounding visual context or utilize the previously approved gate design, which was approved under file number 21-005430-COA. And I will turn it over to any questions the board has.
Thank you, Jamie. Does anybody have any questions for staff?
I have one. The door as proposed is made out of what material? Is it wood?
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Okay. Thank you. Would the petitioner like to come forward? State your name for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman and the board. My name is Shauna Casera. I am the architect working with clients at 117 West Jones. And as you know, there was some deviation from what was originally proposed and approved with the brick wall built around this property. The original gate design that you saw that had the point in the middle, we're no longer interested in that design. We are proposing a solid wood mahogany flush panel door that is painted. And while I understand staff's recommendation to introduce some verticality to that door, I would ask you to consider the simple solid mahogany door that we have proposed. Other than that, nothing else to explain.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead.
Are there other doors in the nearby historic district that you've seen that are like this, what you're proposing?
This is a flush panel, two panel door. I haven't done extensive research. We do have this property has a pool adjacent to a contributing structure, and there is a door going into the backyard of that structure. It's all combined. So this proposed double gate is similar to that existing single door, which also penetrates a brick wall that's behind the house portion.
Does anybody have any additional questions for the petitioner? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll now go into board discussion. Mr. Thompson, I'll start with, public comment. Go ahead.
Ryan Jarles, Historic Savannah Foundation. We hold an easement on this property, so our ARC did review this project a little more thoroughly than others. And they felt that the door as proposed was appropriate. They felt with it being a modern wall and a modern door that this more modern design fits the bill. So they had no opposition. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comment? Virtually or no? Okay. Now we'll go into board discussion. Mr. Thompson.
Yes, I'd like to hear from staff a little more about why they propose a door. Is it just the vertical nature of other doors in the area, or is there a standard that would apply and override the kind of door proposed?
There's no design standard. Is this working? Hi, Jamie Zerillo. There's no design standard. It was just visual compatibility based on what's in the lane in the district.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have anything else to add, Mr. Thompson?
I could say flip a coin, but I could understand the vertical concept of the visual compatibility. However, I think the other door is fine. Did the applicant say what color it's going to be?
She said it's going to be painted.
Painted, yeah, not, well.
Okay. I would presume black.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Ms. Gwen.
I appreciate staff's comments on visual compatibility, but for me, I don't see an issue with the door as proposed.
Ms. Taylor.
I too feel the same way. I think the panel door is acceptable, and it sounds like it's going to be compatible with the existing door on the inside of the courtyard there as well. So I don't have a problem with that.
Mr. Altshuler.
I concur that the exterior door would conform to the interior door. Makes great sense.
Ms. Memory.
I also agree with the rest of the board that the proposed doors are visually compatible.
Mr. Higgins.
I concur with what's just been said.
And Ms. Rowan.
I also agree with previous comments.
Okay. Since nobody really had any comments, we won't go around a second time. And we'll now entertain a motion. Can you bring up the recommendation just for numbers and things? Thank you.
This is Gwen. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition number 22-003883COA for 117 West Jones Street be approved because it's in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and design standards set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Okay, so you're approving as submitted, right? Okay, do we have a second?
Thompson, second.
Okay, Mr. Thompson. Okay, Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Gwen?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
And Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Okay. The application has been approved as submitted. The next petition is the petition of Rose Architects, 22-004373-COA, 111 West Congress Street, alterations, additions, and variance recommendation.
Madam Chair, I need to recuse myself from this agenda item.
Okie dokie. Thank you. Just make sure you shut the door when you go out.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the staff recommendation for 111 West Congress Street. The applicant is requesting alterations and an addition to the property located at 111 West Congress Street. Proposed work includes reconfiguring the interior spaces, which will be shown. The floor plans for the first level, the second level, second floor. A new addition that includes a roof deck, bar, and an indoor-outdoor operable patio. And a marquee sign on the front facade of the existing building. The applicant is also requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard regarding marquees in the special sign district standards 9.917 section F8 that reads, the lowest point of the marquee sign shall not be less than 10 feet above the established grade, to allow for 8 foot 9 inches of clearance from the underside of the marquee to the sidewalk in order to be more aligned with the height of the existing building. With regard to the variance recommendation request, normally staff reviews variance criteria based on the request, but in this case, staff recommends that the applicant submit further specifications about the design of the marquee before proceeding with the variance recommendation request. When 111 West Conger Street was constructed in 1969 and is a non-contributing building that was severely altered in the 1990s. The building is within the Savannah National Historic Landmark District and the Savannah Downtown Historic District. Generally, staff finds the project to be visually compatible. However, regarding the proposed folding glass doors, they fall under the prohibited materials of the standard for entrances and doors. Staff recommends a redesign of the front facade of the new addition without the folding glass partition doors. With regard to standard for exterior walls, staff recommends that any exposed CMU blocks shall be painted. Staff recommendation is to approve the proposed alterations at 111 West Conger Street with the following conditions because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, redesign the front facade of the new addition without the folding glass partition doors, and all exposed CMU blocks must be painted. And recommend to continue the recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard that reads, the height of a new or remodeled marquee sign shall not extend above the parapet wall of the building, and the lowest point of the marquee sign shall not be less than 10 feet above the established grade to allow for the 8'9" clearance from the underside of the marquee to the sidewalk in order for the petitioner to submit detailed drawings and specifications about the proposed marquee. Thank you, and I will be happy to take your questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. Does anybody have any questions for staff? I know we talked about this one in pre-meeting a little bit. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. Did staff have any concerns over the door heights on the front facade? The existing entry door looks to be gauging about a foot taller than the folding doors.
Staff did not consider that because the folding doors were not in compliance with the materials required. However, if with a redesign, we would consider the height be consistent.
And I guess my other question just has to do with the overall recommendations where you're kind of bifurcating this into two sections. Did staff consider just recommending a continuance until the marquee issue and design of the marquee issue was decided?
For the entire project, you mean?
Yes.
If that's something the board wishes to consider, then sure. That's just not what the staff recommendation was.
Does anybody else have any questions for staff?
I'm just going to reiterate, just want to make sure that the folding glass doors, just to make sure they are acceptable in the ordinance on the side elevations, but not on the front. Is that correct?
If they're not fronting a street, then yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions for staff? Okay. Thank you. Would the petitioner like to come forward? Make sure you state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Kevin Rose, Rose Architects. I guess I'd like to start with, we all know that this building is going to be better no matter what happens to it. So it's good to be able to work on it. To address the folding doors, these doors look more like French doors. And I looked at the ordinance and it says sliding glass doors. It doesn't say folding doors. So that's why we decided to use these rather than some other type of material. I want to give you a little background on why we use these rather than doing storefront doors that opened up. We didn't want to confuse the main entrance with the main building. We wanted this to be able to be opened up, look like French doors down there, like a European style cafe or other places. But in the ordinance, it does say sliding glass doors. It doesn't say folding doors. So these look less like sliding glass doors, and we'd be happy to change the styles and everything to have them look more like French doors in this instance. I think it's visually compatible. I think it doesn't confuse the entrance of the building if we do it this way. We're open to other suggestions, but I just wanted to let the board know why we did what we did, to basically allow this to be opened up, but not have doors that look like this giant entrance on the right-hand side, and then, you know, more entrance than what we have in the building, the main building. As far as the CMU is concerned, the back elevation is covered with everyone's electrical and plumbing and everything, and we'll paint that the best we can. I don't even know how many buildings have stuff on the back of that building. There is a drawing error here. This will be stucco, as you can see. Does everybody see that? That will actually be stucco to match the rest of the side of the building. What else was there to discuss?
Marquee.
The marquee, which is the big thing here. Okay, first of all, we asked for the variance to be able to fit the sight lines and lines of that block. If we raise it to 10 feet, we meet the ordinance, but we don't meet the kind of intent of the ordinance, which is to keep those lines consistent across the block. Trying to get a sign person to work with us right now is almost impossible. So that's why we're at where we're at. So we would like to have the continuance remain on the signage, move the project forward so that we don't get stalled out by something that someone that is out of our control. We want to do this right. We want to use the inspiration of, let's see, the other marquees that are downtown, which we can see here. Two out of the four of these historic marquees do not meet the current ordinance. So we feel justified in asking for something that basically fits into the streetscape that we're building on and not to a number that is set at 10 feet by, it's kind of an arbitrary kind of situation. So is there any other questions that I can answer for the board?
Let me ask mine first. So Mr. Higgins had commented on the fact that the sliding doors are not the same height as the regular door, but that's because there's a step there, right?
We're working on that step right now. This building is a mess. It's literally a mess. So we're trying to figure out how to make all these things line up. Mm-hmm. I believe we can make that work with and have that line of continuity, Mr. Higgins. That's a minor detail that we can work out, though.
And just to refresh my memory, what's the frame of this, of the bifold folding doors? Is it metal?
It looks more like a French door, but it's a metal system. Yeah. Okay. And there's a specification in there.
Ms. Taylor, go ahead.
Regarding the doors, setting aside the issue of whether or not it's part of the ordinance, which I guess we're going to have to go back and review, but what about panels on the bottom of those doors to make them look more like storefront windows or something like that? Did you consider that?
Yes, and another code situation that we have, one of those doors is going to be a regular operating door for egress, because with the current code, thanks to the Great White Fire back in the 90s or whatever, we have to meet a certain amount of egress from the main entrance of the building. So we would need to have more than a single 36-inch door at the front. And we felt it was important to keep that existing single door in a building that had a single door, you know, even though it's not contributing, it just makes sense, and to use that other one as part of the main entrance for egress.
Does anybody else have any questions for the petitioner?
I have one minor one. On the rear, on the lane side, the small awning that you have, does that extend into the public right of way?
Let me see what we have here. It's basically a cover over the door. There's some stuff back there now. We can eliminate that. If it goes into the right of way, we'll obviously deal with it. That lane is full of trucks.
That was my exact point.
All right.
I can see a Cisco truck taking it out.
Yeah, I agree. And our owner wanted to do something back there because he did want people to know that that was also a nightclub from the other side, because we do have the condition where the Peacock Lounge has an entrance back there as well. So he wanted to have something out there, but that's something that, you know, it's not my baby.
Any additional questions, Ms. Roman?
Okay, so essentially, are these two French doors that open up like this, or the two, like the two doors on each side just fold to the side?
It would all fold to one side.
Oh, all of them fold to
one side. Yeah, they all fold. But okay, one of them operates as a regular
door. As one
single,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So they, and like I said, we are open to having them look like French doors and not like, you know, sliding doors. That's not part of the plan here, so.
Does anybody have any other questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to provide comment?
Brian Jarles, Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC felt that programmatically, they would prefer a more cohesive design on the right side of the building, mainly speaking to the rhythm of solids to voids on the main facade, so the folding glass doors, as well as the upper railing that's acting sort of as the parapet.
Can you scroll?
Yeah.
To show us the elevation, sorry. There you go.
Zoom in. They would just prefer that this be a solid spacing instead of the glass. And then they noted that the brick columns or piers didn't have any cap to them. It's just brick all the way up to the top. And they would just prefer that that be capped in some way. So the main comments, again, being a more cohesive design. So instead of glass, enclosing this space in some way. And then they would prefer a more traditional storefront on the lower level. But we did want to thank Mr. Rose for finally bringing this building back to the street the way it should be. Thank you.
Is there any other public comments virtually? No? Okay. At this time, we will now enter into board discussion, and no other public comment will be accepted. Ms. Rowan, I will start with you.
Yeah, I think I agree with making those doors look, you know, more like French doors, I think, would be a nice touch.
Mr. Higgins, sorry.
I strongly feel this project is maybe a little premature. I do not read the folding doors as sliding doors at all. I am very challenged by the marquee and lack of information thereof. And I think once we find out how the marquee is going to be configured, may affect the configuration of the entire facade. Mm. I personally would rather see them this continued in its entirety for changes to be made, more information about the marquee, changes in line with the whole discussion as far as the doors and that sort of thing go.
Ms. Memory?
Yes, I also agree that this should be continued as well. And I have concerns about the marquee because the buildings that were referenced are historic contributing buildings, but also much larger, and just concerned about what that's going to do for a building of this scale. But I agree that this should be continued.
Mr. Alshuler?
The two issues of the marquee and the folding doors lead me to believe that we should.
Ms. Taylor?
I think the folding glass doors being new, I think this is it's possibly setting a precedence here. I think it needs a lot of thought. I too have some concerns about the design. It seemed like if we could do panels at the bottom to make it look more like a storefront, that might be a start. That's why I was asking about that. So I have some concerns about that. I think it is a little bit too contemporary, too jarring, and isn't as compatible as it could be with the historic storefront. Definitely think that the marquee has to be continued till we get the details on that.
Mr. Thompson?
Well, I definitely agree about the marquee. I have concerns about how that fits into the building and the height. Always concerned about having clearance for my own head. I'm leaning towards the continuing what Mr. Higgins said about continuing the whole project. I know the architect does not want to do that, but visually this I have some concerns, and I don't know at this point how to recommend what it would be different. So I'm leaning in favor of continuing the item until the issues can be addressed.
Ms. Rowan, do you have anything additional?
I mean, I agree with doing a continuance for the marquee and just, like I said before, making the doors look more, like you said, kind of like a French bistro kind of look, more, you know, not so modern, I'd say.
Mr. Higgins?
No additional comment.
Ms. Memory?
No additional comment.
Mr. Alshuler?
No further comment.
Ms. Taylor?
Nothing additional.
And Mr. Thompson?
That's all for now. Thanks.
Okay. At this time, we'll now entertain a motion. Can you bring up the, Caitlin, can you bring up the recommendation, please?
This is Higgins. I move the Savannah Historic District Board of Review with regard to 111 West Congress Street, 22-004373-COA, continue the case in its entirety to the November
9th
meeting.
Okay. And then also continue the, you said continue it in its entirety, correct? Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So the petition, the motion on the floor is to continue the application in its entirety. Ms. Rowan, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Alshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Yes.
Okay, with that, the petition has been continued till the November 9th meeting. The last petition on the regular agenda is the petition of GM Shea Architects, 22-004359-COA, 225 East President Street, alterations and addition.
Good afternoon. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the staff review of 225 East President Street. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations and an addition for the property at 225 East President Street, including demolition of a 1980s addition and replacement with a new addition, in-kind roof replacement, and the addition of two dormers on the east facade. In 2021, a new construction parts 1 and 2 project was approved for the vacant lot on the property to expand the capacity of the President's Quarters Inn. On July 8, 2020, the board approved part 1 height and mass. Upon the approval of part 2, the applicant intended to submit alterations of the existing historic structure. The present application is an amendment to the previously approved COA. 225 East President Street was constructed in 1855 and is a contributing building within the Savannah National Historic Landmark District and the Savannah Downtown Historic District. The existing building was extensively renovated in the 1980s, including a postmodern addition on the rear of the building, which also created exterior balconies and an elevator space. Generally, staff finds the project is visually compatible and meets the standards. However, regarding the proposed dormers on the historic roofline of the east elevation, the Secretary of the Interior Standard 3 physical record states changes that create a false sense of historical development, such as adding conjectural features, shall be avoided. Staff recommends omitting the addition of the dormers. With regard to the proposed repairs of the historic ornamental metalwork and stucco, get some pictures. Staff recommends providing color samples of the paint proposed to be used and that the gentlest means possible is utilized when cleaning historic features on the building. As for the proposed in-kind roof replacement, staff recommends that the applicant provide photographic evidence of the roof deterioration on the historic building. And to show some of the plans, I know you may have reviewed some of this already, but just to provide some visual demolition plans and a rendering of the addition that is being discussed. So staff recommendation is to approve alterations and addition for the property at 225 East President Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, omit the addition of two dormers on the historic roofline. Two, provide color samples of the paint for repairs to stucco and ornamental metalwork. Three, ensure that the gentlest means possible will be utilized when cleaning historic features on the building. And four, provide photographic evidence of roof deterioration on the historic building. Staff would like to note that after the applicant read the staff review, staff spoke with the applicant who were amenable to the conditions, but staff will allow the applicants to further discuss. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Caitlin. Does anybody have any questions for staff?
I have just one quick one. I noted the existing shutter hardware is going to be removed. Is that historic?
Yes. All right, I had the same question.
I think that will be a question I will defer to the applicant.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any other questions for staff?
Madam Chair, Mr. Higgins, if you just repeat that question so I could hear.
They're going to be removing existing shutter hardware.
Oh.
And I was just wondering if it's historic.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you, Caitlin. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Thank you. My name is Patrick Shea. I'm senior principal with Gunmeyer Hoff Shea Architects. And I'm joined here at the podium by Meredith Stone, and Meredith is the lead designer for the project. So we have been over the staff report. We do agree with the conditions. We've shown some drawings that may be on your screen right now that show the building without the dormers. We like the dormers, but we understand the reasoning behind it. Existing stonework and brickwork and beautiful, genuinely historic ironwork, we intend to treat that with loving care, and we'll do everything that we possibly can to meet or maybe even exceed the National Park Service recommendations in those particular areas. The stucco that I suspect was added at the ground floor level, we're not overly fond of it, but we're going to try and repair it. And we've submitted a paint sample that shows that we're going to return it to approximately the same color that it is right now. In regards to the addition that's on the back, you know, I'd just like to point out that as much as there is a sentimentality in favor of the idea of this project being a restoration rather than an adaptive reuse, that ship sailed about 40 years ago. So the building was converted into its present use about 40 years ago. And I remember as a young architect, it's possible I was a young architect, my office was actually right directly across York Street from this property. And all the young architects from that time We used to gather at 1790 and have our roundtable discussions, and it was very controversial, the postmodern addition that was proposed by Lomonac, Jewett, and Spencer, and then executed there. Some people thought it was great to have postmodernism in Savannah. Others of us felt like it was inappropriate in the sense that it dominated that part of the building. In other words, it wasn't, you know, subservient in some ways to the original historic building. So what we've decided to do is come back and remove the pink stucco postmodern addition and put back something in its place that is it's actually less tall and clad it in a material that's going to be different from the red brick that's there. So it's easily discernible as being not part of the original building. But we like to think that what we're doing here is trying to heal an old wound to the extent that we can. I think it's also appropriate to point out, can we go to that one that's the section? Yeah, so, you know, the floor-to-floor heights of the existing building are much different than the standard floor-to-floor heights. And you can see by these red lines here that those are the standards that were applied to the new construction. And the dashed line that you see here is approximately how close, maybe exactly how close, the new building is going to be. So although the amendment that you see today presents perspectives and drawings that make it look as if it's a wide open facade, I'm not going to tell you that you won't be able to see it at all, but you're not going to be able to see it anywhere near as much as the existing pink postmodern addition. Additionally, the existing postmodern element is actually 6 feet higher than what we're proposing. We're actually proposing something that is not nearly as high as that. As far as the existing roof, again, there was the intervention of the early 1980s introduced an asphalt shingle roof. Over the years, that asphalt shingle roof has been altered and somewhat repaired. You can see there are a lot of patches in it. You know, my client is going to be spending millions of dollars in order to make this building a high performance building. And by the way, give it another 50 years at least of life as a mostly intact, at least on the exterior, historic structure. So clearly we want to put a new roof over top of it, and we're proposing to replace this in kind. The dormers were proposed for these areas. We've decided to follow the staff's recommendation and remove those. But all of these rooftop mechanical units that are all over the place and very visible on the parapet, those are we're going to either replace, likely going to replace them, and gather all the mechanical up here on this flat portion of the new addition. So that it's not visible at all from any vantage point on a public right-of-way, or I think anywhere else for that matter, other than outer space. So, you know, we think it's certainly an improvement. I know from having conversations with several of the people that I have a lot of respect for and their opinions, that there is a kind of a sentimentality for the fact that there may have been some kind of a porch here before in the 1850s, or perhaps added at some later date. What's there now, I just want to make sure that you understand, is a very contemporary balcony. Has a concrete floor, curb, contemporary metalwork, very contemporary fenestration. And back in there, you can see, and I think it was Nan that asked the question, you know, that there is a sort of historic looking door with a big glass transom that's over there. On there was some desire that, you know, that not be demolished. We're more than happy to look at keeping that, but it won't be on the exterior of the building anymore. It'll be on the interior where it belongs. None of the existing exterior facade has any evidence of a sort of Greek revival, I guess maybe that is, with pedimented either surrounds or anything like that. They're very prevalent on the inside of the building. And in the 1980s, the architects at that time decided to generally replicate that motif on the interior and on the exterior in this location. I have some photographs in the, I'm so old, I remember when we had an Elmo. You remember Elmo? Yeah. But I have some, what's that?
That was only 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, I remember though.
You do?
Here.
Okay.
Yep,
I can't show them to you this way, but if the either of you would like to pass those around.
And just so you know, the pictures that are going around now as well, those are the ones that came with the COA application or the 1980s edition. That's what they look like before, just
before. Well, I haven't seen that, so I'd like to see that too. Okay. So what we're circulating around is, the first is an interior shot that actually shows you the existing surround, that surround, on an old window opening and also on a new relatively, meaning 1980, created opening. And they both have that motif, but they are, in fact, just barely discernibly different. And you'll see from the evidence that goes around that it's very clear that on the interior and on these two that are on the exterior, you can tell from the molding that's like a back band that the profile is not the same as it was on the historic building. Also, the stucco that's been added to an existing masonry wall in the 1980s, you can also see there where they put up a flat board so they could screed the stucco to it and then stuck the new surround on top of it. So there's even more evidence that it was not original. Nonetheless, I mean, if you want, well, we'll do our very best to save it, but it's going to be on the inside of the building, sort of where it belongs. I think I may have addressed.
That's what she said. She said it's 1980.
The comments in the staff report, and we would be happy to answer any questions at this point.
Go ahead. So will there be historic building materials removed? I realize what you're saying about the windows, but in addition to that.
So it's interesting, the shutter hardware.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's original historic hardware or not. I think it unlikely. There were shutters that we found that were stored in the attic. But they were modern shutters. They were not historic shutters. They were stored in the attic because they were falling apart like modern shutters do. So if you tell me you want us to save that hardware, we can do that. But I'm not convinced myself that those are shutter hardware from 1850, nor am I particularly convinced. Maybe the stuff that's being circulated from the 1980 petition shows it, whether or not it even had shutters in 1980. I don't know. Other than that, to answer your question, Ms. Taylor, our intention is, other than the addition itself, to be as faithful as we can with the, you know, preservation of the exterior historic fabric. Mm-hmm. And as we say, give it another 50 years.
There were some sealed openings, I believe, on the south facade in particular, like already bricked in window openings. Are you going to reopen those?
We had not planned to, no, ma'am.
Okay. Is it a design decision, like what's on the other side of the interior of that wall, or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Just curious, because I just noticed that this morning.
Yeah. So.
Does anybody else have any other questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? When you come forward, please make sure that you keep your comment to 3 minutes or less and you state your name for the record.
Yes, may my time begin after we get the PowerPoint operational?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Yes.
My name is Andrew Jones. And thank you very much for allowing me to present. So my concern, of course, is the loss of historic features. There's the rear facade. It was originally an upper and lower porch with what they call cabinets. It appears in the 80s that those porches were either stuccoed over or perhaps replaced in concrete. You can see the north cabinet here on the left with a portion of the recessed porch still there. You can see the south cabinet with the recessed porch. There are quite a few of these doors. In fact, there are four of them. These are Greek Revival doors in the style of the 1850s. The transoms appear to be original. The doors themselves might not be, but they would have sometimes had glass door with muntins. There was the argument made that they have different molding profiles. Of course they do. They are exterior doors to sleeping porches. There's no reason that they would have the same. In my house, the Berrien house, we have, I think, 7 to 12 different molding patterns. In addition, the fact that they might be applied over the stucco, again, we don't know whether they were saved in the original renovation. The walls were stuccoed and then they were reapplied in place. It'd be kind of strange to redo all of that if you didn't have the original. And here you can see the how elegant this is. It's a Greek Revival 1850 style. The Department of Interior standards that the character of the property shall be retained and preserved, and the removal of historic material or alteration of features and spaces shall be avoided. And so four of the six historic exterior door frames of this building above ground level are going to be removed. That's 66%. Now let's look at other material that's going to be destroyed. These historic windows, 6/6 windows with brownstone lintels, the Savannah gray brick, the dental coursing above, two of those are being removed. That's very serious. And more importantly is that this proposed plan removes all vestiges of the cabinet porch layout. You can see the existing, that tower was added in order to have an elevator, but what you've got here are twin townhouses with a porch. There probably was a divider between the porches. And in the 80s, they added the tower, but they left then the remnants of those porches in place, modified somewhat. The proposal preserves none of that character of the porches and cabinets. In fact, it's an asymmetrical structure that completely denies the fact that this building was twin townhouses. Here's the insurance map. You can see it was a brick house, and the yellow line on the back indicates that there was some portion of that rear facade was wood. And typically these houses had wood porches between the cabinets. This is likely what the original looked like probably many years before the 80s renovation. Proposal, you can see two of those windows disappear, four doorways disappear, and this pink thing, which is hideous, I think we all agree, covers 33% of the rear facade, but the new one covers 66% of the facade. It's twice the size of the 1980s edition. So other examples for you.
I'm gonna have to ask you to wrap up, okay?
Okay, here are the historic examples, one after another with dates showing the cabinet structure and the porches in between. It's a very typical Savannah structure. It's an important part of the history of the historic character of the building. Perhaps they could just do something like this to clean up the building, make it a little less ugly. But to go from that alternative to this proposal, to me, does not seem to honor the Department of Interior standards of retaining the historic materials and the historic character. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there another member of the public that would like to comment?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Ellen Harris. I am speaking today on behalf of the Downtown Neighborhood Association. We are concerned about this proposed addition for a number of reasons. We have concerns about the visual compatibility. The addition appears very much in contrast with the historic building that it should visually relate to in terms of materiality, the configuration of the windows, the size of the windows, the placement of the windows, et cetera. We are also concerned that it overwhelms the overall of this particular facade. We do share concerns as they relate to the Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation regarding the loss of historic fabric, but particularly the loss of the historic porch configuration. Finally, we do have concerns as well about the project not meeting standards as they relate to porches that are being enclosed. The petitioner referred to balconies. These are, we would consider them porches. They have roofs, and there are standards that relate to enclosing porches. Side and rear porch, the standard states side and rear porches may be screened with fine wire mesh, lattice, or shutters, provide the porch continues to read as a porch. And the character defining features are retained and not obscured or damaged. And we do feel that this enclosure of the rear porch obscures, damages, and does not continue to read as a porch. excuse me.
Hey, Ms. Rowan, when you're done with those, can you pass those back? Thank you. Continue.
We do see this as an opportunity. We are not proposing to keep the existing addition that is on there. We agree that we'd like to see that either redesigned, removed entirely, but we see it as an opportunity to, for whatever gets designed back on this facade, for it to be more sensitive than what is there now in terms of respecting the historic porch configuration, even if it has been alterated in the relatively recent past, just the last 40 years. And so we would urge you to continue this petition to allow for a complete redesign of the addition. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Go ahead, make sure you say your name for the record.
Brian Charles, Historic Savannah Foundation. Just so I'm not repeating everything, I do, HSF does agree with Mr. Jones and Mrs. Harris's statements. We feel this is an opportunity to bring the historic porch configuration back. We do also agree with both of them that the 1980s addition should not stay. If you have an opportunity to get rid of it, that's a great opportunity to take. But we do agree with them that this is an opportunity to bring back that historic porch configuration and decline the possible loss of historic materials. I'm not sure which materials are historic on the rear facade, but I would just see this as an opportunity to lessen the intent of removing historic materials. So that is what I'll leave you with. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do we have any other member of the public that would like to comment? Do I have anybody online? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
I would, yeah. Some clarifications. The windows that are in the building now are not historic wood windows. They have metal slides and glides and contemporary sashes. So they're not original windows or even particularly old windows. They're as old as 1980, I suppose. Looks like some of them are even more recently replaced than that. Again, on the issue of whether you call it a porch or whether you call it a balcony, there are standards that say that it's permissible to enclose them. So if we retain the historic fabric behind the enclosure, that's not destroying the historic fabric. So I just want to point that out. In other words, you know, enclosing a porch means that the historic fabric behind it is still there. It doesn't mean that it's going away.
Can you do me a favor and pull up your drawings while you're talking?
Sure.
Particularly a floor plan, if you could. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry, continue.
So, you know, as you see in here, the heavy black lines, that's the existing historic fabric that we can identify. I don't know, you've apparently seen a photograph that we haven't, but that's the historic fabric that we can identify. I do not believe that there was ever a wall, a historic wall, that divided the rear area, at least that dates back to 1850. So again, part of this has already been enclosed, and we are asking for the permission to enclose it further. Yeah. So even in these photographs, all of that area was in fact enclosed previously. And that's probably why the sandborne map shows that area as being wood. We like our design. We wouldn't bring it to you if we didn't. We do think it's visually compatible. We think that it is very respectful and in its own way subservient to the existing historic building, so that it is very clearly discernibly different, but at the same time doesn't steal the show from the existing historic building. And the examples of the moldings that I sent around to you are examples of why the standards evolved over the time between this original intervention in 1980 and today, to say, don't try and make it close, you know, make it discernibly different, but also make it respectful. And we feel like we've achieved both of those goals. Thank you.
I have some additional questions for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
When you were proposing to do the dormers, I know that that's already staff recommendation to remove those, but when you did those, did you find evidence of historic dormers and that's why you were proposing them, or?
It was not why we were proposing them. We were proposing them because we wanted to add daylight that was up in that upper floor. But in going up there and going into the attic, there is evidence that there were other openings there at different times. I honestly, I don't know. But certainly we did not say, scope out where that old opening was and try and put the dormer right there. We did not.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions for the petitioner before we go into board discussion? Go ahead. Oh, for Leah. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions for the applicant before we? Okay. Thank you. Leah, Nan has a question for you.
So, and maybe it would be for her, I'm not sure, but there were no Sanborn maps that you all provided on this one. Is that correct?
Or any historic photos or anything? I don't think there was.
No, the only photos, and we didn't put them in the package, we just brought them with us for the 1980s photos. Those are the ones in the MPC archives.
So
did we have any Sanborn map research? We may have just not uploaded it.
Yeah,
we do. We just didn't upload it.
Okay, because I just had another question on when you look at the one Sanborn map that was shown by one of the letters that was sent in.
Okay.
It looked like there was a full porch in the back because it did show the yellow line, so it would have been wood. So those two cabinets then, could those have been added after 1888? Is that when this was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what year this is, but those cabinets were not here in this map.
So they were added. That's why I was curious about the Sanborns. Would they have been added maybe by 1916?
1888, they were not there.
What about 19?
You know what? Let's look.
Sorry, I just
I got
curious about that, and I thought 1916 is what we need.
Yeah, and that 1888 map or 1898,
you should be able to get
it enclosed in wood at that point too, because they had the wood on the front there. So library
is closed. That from 1916?
No, these are just our photos.
Oh, okay.
The one in his here is this one is 1888. Mm-hmm. It does not show the cabinets, and it's what was that year? And at that time, it was
a porch, probably.
Well, no, because there's not a dashed line. So it was
still enclosed with wood.
Enclosed.
It was. They were not porches in 1888.
Which is interesting if you look at that,
yeah.
How it's drawn in like that, and then the photo that you have, it looks like there was a piece of like a masonry wall in between, and then it was wood, and then it was masonry again.
Funny, if you looked at this,
that
I would more likely think this
exactly.
is the building than this one, because that's interesting. Let's look.
Interesting.
Just because we can't show you what she's got over there, so pull it up on here. Oh Lord, what is this thing? I don't use this way. Yeah, I'm gonna
say, is it on your server? Maybe.
Oh, is it on our server? Yeah. That's why you should call Caitlin up. She knows.
Technology is fun. We're seeing all your special files. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I have it all saved on mine, like I shortcut, so. There we go.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's all filled in. What? There was a whole other building right there? Crazy.
Oh, never realized that. Okay.
So they were the end ones.
So they each had an end on each porch then?
Yeah, but look at those brick ones in the middle. Those were gone by the 1980 photos.
Mm-mm. If you look at the 1980 photo, there are masonry things in between them.
So yeah, by the 1916 maps, it was similar to this
configuration. Interesting. Okay.
But it was enclosed in 1916.
Does anybody have any other questions for staff?
Thank
or the
you.
Petitioner? Yeah, that was a good question.
Very good. Yeah, this masonry is all not there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At this time, we will now enter into board discussion. Ms. Rowan, I'll start with you.
No comment at this time.
Mr. Higgins.
No comment at this time, but I want to hear what everyone else thinks. this is kind of a rough.
This is juicy. Ms. Memory.
I have concerns about the visual compatibility of this, as well as just the loss, whether it's from the 1850s or of historic fabric, but more the historic, just what remains of the historic facade being more obscured than the present edition.
Mr. Altshuler.
I concur with Ms. Memory. The nature of this building seems like it's being more and more obscured from its original intention and configuration. And that's upsetting because this building has a history. It's an important building. And rather than concerning ourselves with its history, we seem to be moving further and further away from it. It seems like a microcosm of what's happening in this town.
Okay. I'll reserve my comments for the end. Ms. Taylor.
I think the design is the first thing I want to, I think it's visually incompatible for the historic structure in general. Like to see the porches be retained in some fashion. I don't know how, and I realize it's a convoluted past of alterations that have occurred here, but it does seem that the two L's or the cabinets that they had there in the porches, some form of that needs to be retained in the design. Also very concerned about the removal of additional, we've already done this once in the 80s, and I hate to see more of the historic building materials removed as well. So I have a lot of concerns about this petition.
Okay, Ms. Gwynn.
I share my colleagues' concerns on the visual compatibility of the addition. And I think I would like to see a little bit more research on what historic material remains and what can be retained and incorporated into the design.
Mr. Thompson.
I don't have a specific comment except to say that the staff recommendation doesn't seem to address any of the concerns we heard from the audience. And it's hard for me to judge, you know, what not what is true or not true, but what is applicable to this decision and not. So at this point, I don't have any other opinion other than I'm confused about the difference between the staff recommendation and the two or three comments we've heard from the audience.
I'll go ahead and comment before I go back around. So I shared the opinions of public comment that the retention of the historic form and the materials as much as possible should be a main goal. At this time, I agree also with staff's comments, all the comments that staff has. And then also, I think that it would be a good faith effort to, since this building is being, you know, rehabilitated, to retain the, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought, retain the shutter hardware, because I think that just based on the one photo that I saw, that it is probably, it's not original, but it probably has significance in its own right. And also to remove the infilled window openings and then put in new window openings, you know, to restore those, even if they happen to be blind on the other side, just to restore the facade, you know, how it was supposed to look. That's all I have. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with the staff recommendations and just keeping as much, you know, historic feel to the building as possible, including the shutter hardware. My comments. Thank you.
Mr. Higgins?
I agree with most all that's been said. I would really hate to see any additional loss of historic fabric here. I think this addition as it's presented is visually incompatible and quite jarring. I drive by this building every day. And I would love to see something other than the pink modernist thing there. I do appreciate elements of the design that are more modernist that help differentiate it from the historic fabric, but I much rather see something more compatible and an interpretation of sleeping porches or whatever might have been there.
Ms. Memory?
Just because of the Secretary of Interior standards that features can gain significance through time, just a little bit having more information about not just the 1850 configuration, but how it evolved over time through the period of significance would be really helpful. But yeah, I don't agree that what's been presented is visually compatible.
Mr. Altshuler.
I agree that this iteration is visually incompatible. It seems like we're moving further and further away from the original intent and the original design and the original plan, and has become utterly incompatible with its intent.
Ms. Taylor.
I don't have anything further to add.
Okay. Ms. Gwynn?
Nothing further.
And Mr. Thompson?
Could staff put up the facade that has this addition or replace the addition? The elevation.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to add, Mr. Thompson?
No, that's all. I just wanted to get refreshed on that. Thank you.
Can you put the recommendation? Thank you. At this time, we will now entertain a motion.
Higgins. I would move that the Historic District Board of Review with regard to 225 East President Street, 22-043598-COA, continue this case in its entirety to the November 9th meeting.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Okay, so the current motion is to continue this application to the November 9th meeting. Ms. Roman, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Mr. Osterley?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Ms. Quinn?
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been continued. So that is the end of our regular agenda today. There are actually no staff reviews today, which is kind of mind-blowing. So we will move on. I don't think we need to acknowledge, sorry. I don't think we need to acknowledge the fact that there's no staff reviews, right? If there's none.
They weren't put on there.
Okay. So I don't need to, we don't need to vote in acknowledgement.
No, we'll add all of them for next month for both months.
Okay.
So it'll make it extra long for you.
Great. I'm so excited. Okay. So we'll skip that this time. So work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. There are three reports there, as they always are, for you to look at your leisure. Also, report on items deferred to staff. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. I have a couple, as well as the ones that are already on here. So just as a reminder that the subdivision, and he just left, but the subdivision meeting is next Monday at 2 o'clock in this room. Everybody from the public is encouraged to join, provide comments, all of that.
Yeah, basically the way it's going to work is there's going to be the stakeholder. It's a stakeholder group. So the stakeholders are going to have their discussion and then they'll invite the public to comment.
Okay. Do we know who's technically considered stakeholder?
The stakeholders that were invited were Beehive Foundation, Historic Savannah Foundation, DNA. You're going to ask me all that right now, right?
That's fine. I mean, it's just there's going to be multiple groups and then.
There's a stakeholder group that was convened with NUZO. And so anytime something is proposed to change with the zoning ordinance, it's the same group again.
Interesting. Okay.
So as far as I know, the Chamber Tourism Leadership Council.
So it's going to be a big meeting with lots of comments.
Lots of comments.
Yeah. Madam Chair, regarding the stakeholders group, how do they function? Is there a chairman?
No.
No. So they get around the table and comment?
Yeah, we're going to have everybody sit. We were just going to do literally like a round table because that's what we usually do, just in the Stearnsy room and everybody sits around. But because there were people who wanted to come and people who wanted to join virtually and all that kind of stuff, we're going to do it in this sort of traditional setting. And I can help sort of facilitate the meeting like normal, but it's not going to be a chairperson or anything like
okay.
that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And I know Melanie was about to say something too. So Ms. Wilson's hiding over there in plain sight.
Okay.
What about some of the other neighborhood associations like Victorian District?
And no, I mean,
I know downtown is supposed to come.
Yeah, DNA is, Ellen is going to be there. Yeah. She's their liaison.
Just the landmark district is
mm-hmm. right. I mean, and of course, any public can come. And the National Park Service called us and this is the only reason we're actually doing it virtually is because they wanted to come in virtually. So, which is why everybody has to sit at the dais now so we can record it.
Right.
So.
That's all I have for mine. It says on here that there's inspections completed by staff. I'm not sure what that is. I'll let you.
That's there every month.
Is it?
Yeah, we do COA inspections.
I'm sorry. I'm losing it. It's okay.
That's okay. We inspect the projects to make sure that they're in compliance.
You're right.
We actually do that.
Sorry. You're right. And then stamp drawings. Yes. Is there any other business that someone wants to discuss or bring up? No?
Okay. The next pre-meeting will be in this room Wednesday, November 9th, 2022 at noon. And then the next regular meeting, again, also in this room, November 9th at 1 p.m. And we will adjourn.